You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 24. It says this, "But the boat by this time was a long way off from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch," someone say fourth watch, "of the night came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him," speaking of Jesus, "walking on the sea, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they cried out in fear." Verse 27, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.'" Someone say, "Do not be afraid." "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it's you, command me to come out on the water.'" Verse 29, "He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat, went and walked on water and came to Jesus." Verse 30, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" Verse 31, "Jesus immediately reached out and took hold of him, saying, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Verse 32, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" I came to tell you this morning that fear-based warfare is when you fear God more than any other spirit. We're in a series called Supernatural Warfare. The title of this is Supernatural Warfare Part 1, Fear-Based Warfare. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're already in this room. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, I pray right now that you would breathe your spirit upon your logos word, your written word. And I pray it would come alive. It would be rhema. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying today. Lord, we declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. Come on, church, pray this with me. We declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. So we say, fear, you have to go. We declare, Jezebel, you have to go. Go with your witchcraft, your anxiety, your confusion, your depression. We say, Holy Spirit, come rule and reign in this place. Father, I thank you. No one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. Yes. And amen. The Lord spoke to us at the end of last year and said this was going to be a year of the supernatural. He gave us Ephesians 3:20, that God will do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could even imagine or think according to his power that works in us. Supernatural means this, beyond your ability. It means this, that you're going to see God do this year what you can't do on your own. What you don't have the resources, what you don't have the ability, what you don't have the connections, what you don't have the strength for, you're going to see God do on your behalf. And here's the beautiful thing, is when only God does it, only God gets the credit and the glory. There's three parts for this prophetic word. You're going to experience the supernatural. We're already seeing that taking place. Second part to this prophetic word is you'll experience supernatural personal growth. We've been leaning a lot in on that recently. And the third part is we will experience supernatural numeric growth here at Mercy Culture Church. And so today, my prayer is that you grow in your ability to fear the Lord. I'm gonna say that again. That you supernaturally grow in your ability to fear the Lord. I wanna start out by letting you know that I'm proud of you. As your pastor, I've watched you battle the spirit of fear. I've watched for this last year, this virus and disease. And I want to let you know that we are in a pandemic, but the pandemic is not a commercialized virus. The pandemic is a pandemic of fear. That is the pandemic that we are in. And I've watched this church, I've watched this community refuse to participate in an economy of fear. And I'm proud of you. But today, you're going to go to another level. Today, you're going to go to a new place. And a lot of times, sometimes preachers or ministers will say, I got a life-changing word for you. And that may or may not be true. But I know for a fact that if you get a hold of what God is speaking today, it will change your life. Today, you are not only going to grow in your ability to resist fear, but the second stage is you grow in your ability to fear the Lord. This morning, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. We're going to get into a series for the next few months. We're going to be here, and we're going to talk about witchcraft. We're going to talk about demonic warfare. We're going to talk about Jezebel. We're going to talk about the perversion of sexuality and how it defies man. We're going to talk about these issues, and here's what I want to let you know, is that it is spiritual warfare. I'm going to say it again. It is spiritual. Because there's a lot of people that don't believe in spiritual warfare. They're like, oh, that's in South America, but not here. Well, obviously, you didn't participate in the election season. Warfare, demons believe in you, even if you don't believe in them. But the truth is a lot of us aren't aware of what spiritual warfare really is. Or then you have a presumptuous Christian that loves to say, well, I don't want to be over spiritual. Whoa. So you want to be under spiritual or you want to be carnal? So let me get this straight. Jesus dies on the cross. He's born a virgin, born of God, never sins, dies on the cross, conquers hell, raises from the dead, ascends to heaven, is coming back one day, but you don't want to be over spiritual? No, help me. No, what you mean is you're spiritually immature. So what you say is, I don't want to be over spiritual, and it blinds other people of your spiritual immaturity. Today, you are going to grow. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm about to spiritually grow. Turn to your second choice and say, you might too. Now, some spiritual warfare is obvious. Some is obvious. I got a call a couple years ago from a mother of an old childhood friend of mine. And she said, Landon, I got to talk to you. She's like, there's demons in my house. And I was like, okay, well, what's going on? She goes, I'll be doing the dishes and the dishwasher will open. And then I'll turn around and I'll shut it and I'll turn around it again and it'll be open again. And she goes, and the other day I turned around. And as soon as I turned around, the entire top tray of the dishwasher full of dishes was turned around, dumped in the middle of my kitchen, in the middle of my floor the moment I turned around. And as she told me this story, I felt the gift of distinguishing between the spirits come up in me. And I said, there's something in your house that's attached to witchcraft. You need to get rid of it. And she goes, oh my gosh, my daughter-in-law, her family's connected to Santeria and it witchcraft. And she sent me this doll from Mexico and it's on my mantle. I said, Mama, I'll get rid of the doll. I said, get rid of it right now. Get it out of your house. There's some things that are obvious when the dishwasher is opening and talking to you and dumping upside down all by itself. That's obvious. But there are some forms of witchcraft in the American church that are worse, but not so obvious. I'll give you an example. In my earlier days of ministry, my pastor called me and said, hey, I want you to go downtown and pray over a building. And again, that gift of discernment, that discerning between the spirits rose up in me. And there was this alarm in me. Now, when you feel that, it doesn't mean you're critical. It means there's a gift of discernment or gift of the spirit, discerning the spirits in operation, and you need to grow in your maturity to recognize it. And so if you feel yourself instantly getting angry or frustrated, be aware of that. And so I felt that. And so I asked one of the other pastors at our church, I said, hey, would you come with me? So we went downtown and it was this old three-story building that used to be project housing that a guy turned into an office complex. And so we go down in his office and he goes, good Reverend, you're here. He goes, there's ghosts in my building and I need you to do an exorcism. And I was like, they didn't teach that in Bible college. I was like, well, I don't do exorcisms. I said, but we brought some anointing oil. I was like, we could, you know, dedicate your building to the Lord and have what we call it a day. And he's like, awesome. I'm like, all right, great. So we start walking. He's like, let's go upstairs. And so he goes to start taking me upstairs and he had this giant husky dog and the dog stopped at the stairs and he would not go up the stairs. And he goes, see, that's where the ghosts are. And I'm like, okay. So I just walking up the stairs and I take a left and I'm walking down the hallway. And the only way I could describe what happened next was it felt like something reached its hand down my throat, ripped all of the air out of my lungs. I had the greatest rush of anxiety I've ever had in my life. I could barely breathe and I have this panic attack and it feels like hundreds of pounds of pressure on my chest. And I did what this church boy knew how to do. I just burst it in the Holy Ghost. I just get it, going to town on it. Ask me if I had an interpreter. No. And then I got the peace of God finally came back in the room. Then I anointed that place with oil and got out there as fast as I can. But here's what I learned, is later I would be in atmospheres and I'd be in situations where I would just walk into someone's presence. And the same rush and anxiety, the same panic attack, the same fear that I felt in a building of demons, I would feel when they just said hello. When they sent you a text message that just said, we need to talk. And you would feel that same rush. See, you are experiencing witchcraft. You are experiencing spiritual warfare. You just haven't learned how to recognize it yet. So let me reveal some effects of witchcraft for you. First one is fear. We're going to go into more of this later. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. How about this one? Anxiety. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious about nothing. But what has happened is the church has been attacked with the witchcraft of anxiety, and it's happened to so many people. They said, well, this must just be something wrong. Let's go to try to find medication to fight spiritual warfare. And it's so much easier to go to a doctor to fight spiritual warfare than you just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It's quiet in this spirit-filled church. It's not Easter anymore. Just kidding. I just needed you to laugh so I can drink some of my tea for a second. Another effect of witchcraft, tormenting dreams. I've had many people on my Tuesday Q&A that I do ask me about snakes in their dreams. And when there are snakes in your dreams, it points to witchcraft in operation around you. How about this one? I'm gonna give you a couple that the prophet Elijah dealt with, dealing with witchcraft of Jezebel. This is all found in 1 Kings 18 and 19. Depression is an effect of witchcraft. There's a pandemic in America of depression. Because there's a pandemic in America of witchcraft. Discouragement is an effect of witchcraft. Confusion, constant fatigue. How about this one, married couples? Fights out of nowhere that don't make any sense. Be aware when you're like, hey, how was your day? And all of a sudden, like this went from 1 to 11 fast. Like that escalated quickly. How did we get here? Be aware of when there's demonic activity that is the accuser of the brethren provoking you to break relationship and break unity. Be aware of it. Heather and I have found ourselves, where she loves to fight with me, so sometimes we get in fights. Just kidding. She'll preach here in a few weeks and she'll get me back. Here we go. But you know, sometimes we'll get into these lovers' quarrels and all of a sudden it comes fast and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I love you, you love me, what's going on? There's something happening here because this wasn't here 2 seconds ago. C.S. Lewis has a great book called The Screwtape Letters. And if you haven't read it, I'd encourage you to read it. It's this made up story about a demon that is mentoring a lowercase demon. And C.S. Lewis describes how they try to disrupt the peace and the unity in very close and important relationships. Pay attention when there is strife in your home. Strong sexual desires and temptations. Revelations 2:21 talks about the immorality that is involved in witchcraft. I'm gonna preach about this more in a later week, but the enemy will always try to destroy your future by getting you to compromise in sexual sin today. This is one of his attacks. Strong sexual temptation and desires. And if this is something that is attacking you, I would encourage you, do not keep this to yourself. Confess this, confess it with your spouse, confess it with your loved ones, confess it with those that keep you accountable, those that iron sharpen iron. Do not fight this fight by yourself. The enemy will try to seclude you and isolate you, because if he can get a sheep wandering off by themselves, they're the easiest one to take out. Unexplained sickness or illnesses. Revelations 2:20 through 22 talks about a bed of suffering. This would be called what we would call infirmity. When it doesn't make sense, but there's just a constant sickness in your home or around you, pay attention to witchcraft in operation. So practical advice, what What do you do when you feel the presence of demonic activity, when you feel witchcraft, when there's an awareness, there's a light that comes on, that there is this demonic activity or spiritual warfare in your home or in your life? The first thing that you do is you welcome the Holy Spirit. If there is a presence from a spirit that's not the Holy Spirit, you tell it to go and you welcome the Holy Spirit. It's not a cute saying that we put on the side of our building. There's a reason why when I open up every single service that I preach, I say no spirit but the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm letting the spirits know that have been tormenting you all week that they're not welcome when they come in here. So the first thing that you do is you welcome the Holy Spirit. We teach you how to do this every single day in MC Connect. Your daily discipleship plan, where we teach you to come into the presence of God every single day. It doesn't matter if you're at home, if you're on your favorite hiking place, where you are at work, but you can learn how to dwell in the presence of God on a regular basis. This is the vision of Mercy Culture Church. Daily corporate encounters to daily encounters. We want to teach you how to abide in His presence so those demonic spirits do not have authority over your life. Second thing I would encourage you to do is pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're new to this community or spirit-filled community, I'm talking about speaking in tongues. And you do not need an interpreter when you pray in your heavenly language. You need an interpreter, according to 1 Corinthians 14, if you are prophesying in tongues. But Jude tells us to pray in the Holy Ghost by building up our faith. We have many scriptures where people pray in the Holy Ghost, prayed in tongues, and they were not prophesying in tongues, and there was no need for an interpreter. Amen. What is witchcraft? Witchcraft is spiritual opposition to the will of God through the help of evil spirits. Witchcraft is about controlling the will of people. The purpose of witchcraft is to get you to resist the Holy Spirit and to disobey God. I'm gonna say that again. The purpose of witchcraft is to get you to resist the Holy Spirit so that you will disobey God. The control of the will of man always produces disobedience. The enemy is after your obedience. Let me show you. Ephesians 2:2. It says, in which you once walked following the course of this world, following, look at this, the prince of the power of the air. That's important. Underline it, circle it, highlight it. We're coming back to it. The spirit that is now at work, look at this, in the sons of disobedience. There is a demonic spirit at work to get you to disobey. It's exactly what Adam and Eve experienced in the garden with the serpent. The serpent came and said, did God really say? Yes, He said, but the serpent came to get them to walk in disobedience, to try to disrupt the perfect will of God in their life. So the enemy comes to cause you to disobey, but the Spirit of God leads you to obey. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments of every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Someone say, obey Christ. So when you are obeying God, you will win in spiritual warfare. When you are disobeying God, you will lose in spiritual warfare. This is what the enemy tries to do. Try to get you to tempt you to disobey. Disobey with your finances and rob God with your tithe. Disobey with your body and engage into sexual immorality. Disobey with your mouth and be used of the enemy to gossip and spread witchcraft that the Bible calls abomination. He will try to get you to compromise and live in a place of fear so he can keep you in a place of disobedience. One of my favorite things about pastoring is that I get to take my relationship with the Lord and give it away. And over this last year, I've been asking the Lord on a regular basis, I want you to teach me about spiritual warfare. In fact, on the last fast that we did, it was one of the primary things that I was praying into. It's a wonderful thing. You probably want to write this down. One of the greatest prayers you could ever pray is, Holy Spirit, teach me. Because when you ask God to teach you, He will teach you. So sometimes He's teaching you and you're not even aware of it. A couple months ago, I was out to lunch with one of the guys in the church and went to Coco Shrimp. And if you haven't been to Coco Shrimp, it will bless your life. That spicy shrimp will get you. It will bless you, though. So we're leaving Coco Shrimp, and we pull back into the church, and we pass those brand new signs that come in and give you directions. And as soon as we pull into the church, this gentleman said, "Hey, do you think it's too soon for me to begin to share my testimony?" And as soon as he said it, instantly I felt spiritually provoked. And then he continued and said, there's another, you know, spiritual mentor in my life, and they warned me, they cautioned me to be careful to not share my testimony too soon. And I didn't want to stir up any kind of rebellion or any kind of dissension towards that other spiritual leader, even though I strongly disagreed. And so here's what I said to him. I said, "Well, why don't you just pray about that?" And then I just kept it in mind. Fast forward a week later, I'm with another guy in the church at Coco Shrimp. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. I told the Spanish campus last night, it's Gloria a Dios. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know. So we leave the restaurant. We're coming back to the church. We pull into the church parking lot by those new signs in the exact same spot. A different person said the exact same question to me. "Do you think it's too soon to share my testimony?" Now I'm spiritually provoked. And here's what I said to him. I said, "Why wouldn't you share your testimony?" "Oh, I know why you wouldn't share your testimony. Because some bad leader with some bad theology told you to be careful about sharing your testimony. Because if you share your testimony too soon, some devil might come and attack you. He might come and tempt you. He may come and entice you. And maybe, just maybe, you will turn and sin. You will lose your testimony. You will backslide. You will fall from grace. You will put shame on the body of Christ and on the cross. So it is better for you to hold on to your past like you're still imprisoned by it and live in a place of shame and fear for the rest of your life. And then maybe in 5 years after you're tempted with something new, you can forget about that and hold on to a new set of shame you're now dealing with." Did that about sum it up? Walked into an executive meeting that I wasn't even invited to, kicked the door open, slammed my hand down on the table, and I said, "Would some pastor in here give me one scripture reference that we would not share our testimony?" There's no scripture that says that. And here's the thing. In fact, scripture says the opposite. Revelations 12:11 says we are set free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But watch this. So now we have people that are holding on to their testimony because some devil told them that they might be attacked. So we have girls living in bondage because they're afraid to tell their testimony of what some man did to him. We have church people that are living in bondage because they're afraid to talk about the cult that they used to be a part of, but they called it a church. We have people that live in bondage because they're too afraid about what might come against them. And we are living in fear in bondage because someone, somewhere, some devil told us that we may be attacked. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "That is fear-based spiritual warfare. You cannot use the spirit of fear in spiritual warfare." When I was a young man, I was a teenager, just starting in ministry, young and dumb. I'm driving in my car, and hell is just a fury in my family. Spirit of Jezebel is thriving, wreaking havoc in our church, destroying relationships, destroying families, trying to take out our future. I'm just mad at the devil. Has anyone ever been mad at the devil before? No, like I'm like really mad at the devil, like backslidden mad at the devil. You know what I'm talking about? Like I'm just getting angry, and I forgot about the angry and sin not part. I'm just angry, and I'm in the car, and all of a sudden this not wisdom comes on me.
And I thought to myself, I am going to tell the devil off. I'm sick of being his punching bag. I'm going to tell him where to go. And I'm driving in the car, and this thing comes up in me. And I said, devil, forget you. But I didn't say forget you. I said the granddaddy. I said the great papa. I said the dirty Harry. I let it rip. I said fragile. I swore. I cussed the devil out. I'm driving in my car. I hear an audible voice speak to me and say, do you see what I'm doing? There's nothing you could do about it. Instantly, it gets freezing cold in my car. Every hair on my body stands up, and all of a sudden, I feel the presence of a demonic spirit in my car. So I did what I know how to do. Can you guess? I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. Then I got home and I turned on every light in my house and I laid in the entryway and I prayed in the Holy Ghost till I felt the peace of God fall on me. Then the Lord showed me a vision. Do you know what a vision is? It's a spiritual daydream. And I have this open vision, this daydream. And in this daydream, I'm surrounded by a forest fire. There's a little circle of dirt, and I'm surrounded by this entire forest fire. And I have this bow and arrow, and I have arrows that are on fire, and I'm shooting arrows that are on fire into the forest fire. And the Holy Spirit said, son, you can't use the enemy's fiery darts against him. Church, you cannot use fear to engage in spiritual warfare. God will not honor fear-based warfare. He doesn't partner with fear-based decisions, and he will not honor fear-based warfare. And this is what we do, that things come and attack us, and all of a sudden, we try to respond to spiritual warfare with fear. And then we hope and we pray that God will feel sorry for us enough to help us, or the enemy will feel so bad that we're so beat up, he'll beat someone else up. This happens all the time. You get prophetic words that come, and people get prophetic words. Oh, God's moving at Mercy Culture, and you got on the enemy's radar, and now the enemy knows what you're doing, and you fed so many people in the justice ministry, and Axel's taking dominion, and all of these things, and Distinct Business are taking back the land, and all these things, and now the enemy's got his eyes on you, and you're excited about the prophetic word until they say the enemy's eyes are on you, then you're nervous about the prophetic word, and don't see me too close, and we're not doing that much, maybe we should just shrink back a little. Pastor Steve's running for mayor and he's saying things that politicians don't say. Hey. And maybe he should just, you know, be soft and don't ruffle feathers. And what if he says what we really believe? And what if somebody gets mad? And what if devils start attacking? Y'all, they're here no matter what. You might as well remind them that they belong under your feet. You might as well remind them that you have authority in Christ Jesus, all of them. See, the purpose of fear-based warfare is to get you to shrink back in fear. So how do you respond to a spirit of fear? Oh, this is so important. Y'all, it is a spirit. Put 1 Timothy up there again. You got to see this. Look at this. 2 Timothy verse 1. It says this. For God has not given. Say not given. A spirit of fear. Say spirit. Spirit. You need to hear this. That fear is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a devil. It is a devil. Someone asked me my Tuesday Q&A, well, I haven't been to church in a year. Do you think that's a spirit of fear?
Yes.
Well, Pastor, you're mean. I said, no, it's mean to partner with the spirit of fear that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And lives are being destroyed. Families are being broken. People are getting more sick not being in the house of God. No. I am not going to partner with your fear. Well, shouldn't we just be loving neighbors? It's not loving to let your neighbors go to hell. That's not loving them. There's no scripture that will help you with that. And in fact, I didn't see one scripture where Jesus was going to go minister, but some people had leprosy. The disciples were going to go minister, but there's an outbreak of polio. They just decided not to. They didn't know it was polio then. It's quiet in this Holy Ghost church. No, but people say fear-based things, fear-based statements, fear-based decisions, and then they say, oh, it's wisdom. No, it's not wisdom. You're hiding fear behind wisdom. It's just fear, and it is a spirit. How do you know that it's a spirit? Because it has a presence and a voice. You think those are your thoughts? Those aren't your thoughts. Those are the enemy's thoughts. And then the enemy gives them to you. You believe them, and then you give them away like they're your thoughts. And then you give your kids some fear, and your husband some fear, and your mama some fear, and your friends some fear. And if that's not a fear, you'll go around, you'll tell everyone on social media what you're afraid of just to give people you don't know some demons of fear. It is a spirit. And it destroys the church. It destroys people. And it keeps you in bondage. So you say, well, how do I overcome fear-based warfare? I'm glad you asked. You fear something else more. I get asked all the time, what's the greatest issue in the church? It's easy. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to pray about it. The greatest problem in the church is that we have lost the fear of the Lord. Oh, we talk all the time about a loving God and how Jesus is our homeboy. He is all of those things, but he's Lord first. When I say fear of the Lord, I'm not saying that you're afraid of God. I'm saying that you are so aware of his holiness that there's a reverence on you to be in right standing with him, that you love and honor his presence so much you don't want to do anything to not be in his presence. When you fear the Lord, it does not mean that you're afraid of God. It means that you are terrified to not be in his presence. Let me show you this scripture. I love this. I'm losing all my notes. Where are we? Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You know what this is? Scripture is teaching us when we fear the Lord, we actually turn our back to evil. When you fear God, you turn your back to the spirit of fear. The fear of God is what triumphs and trumps any other spirit. The Lord showed me before we planted this church that there's principalities. I'm going to do a whole message on this. There's principalities that over our city. What is a principality? It's a high-ranking demonic being. And over one part of our city, there is a principality of rebellion. And I don't say these things to make you think I'm spiritual. I'm just telling you what the Lord showed me and what we do. And so because I've seen rebellion over the city, we lift up the fear of the Lord over it. The fear of the Lord is what has a higher authority, a higher power than any other spirit. So when we see the spirit of fear in operation, when you feel fear, you respond by declaring, I'm going to fear the Lord or honor the Lord more. I love Psalms 128. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Proverbs 31 says, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Psalms 34, those that fear the Lord will have no lack. The fear of the Lord is what fights for you. Running out of time. Let's get to our text. Matthew chapter 14, verse 24.
Is anyone getting anything today? There's a similar text in Matthew chapter 8 where it talks about the disciples that are on a boat together in a storm, but this particular one is when Jesus was walking in the water. Matthew chapter 14, verse 24, it says this, let's exegete it. But the boat by this time was a long way off from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It is a ghost. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered, Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat. He went and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. But Jesus immediately reached down his hand and took a hold of him, saying, you of little faith. I want to look at some of the portions of this text. Scripture says that the wind and the waves were against them. Now, I told you earlier we'd go back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 describes Satan as the prince or the ruler of the air, where it actually means that there is power that he possesses in nature. Now, I've been to Israel 5 times now. It's my favorite place in the world. The Western Wall is my favorite location in the world. You'd go to Hawaii, I'd go to the Western Wall. God's there. It's amazing. And I go there many times, and my second favorite place is the Sea of Galilee. But if you haven't been there and you're just hearing this story, you might think it's actually a sea. They call it the Sea of Galilee, but it's a lake. And it's not huge. So now you have the disciples that are in a boat. You have a demonic storm that is authored by Satan. Now, why do I say it was authored by Satan? Because of the ramifications if this boat went down. First of all, you have the disciples. Someone say disciples. Now, all of the disciples, minus Judas, were future apostles. But they weren't apostles yet. Notice how spiritual warfare tries to attack you in the days of your immaturity to take away or to try to destroy the call of God and the future on your life. So many individuals think that because they're being attacked, they're doing something wrong. Now, if you're living in sexual sin, you're doing something wrong. But if you're engaged in just spiritual warfare, it might be because you're doing something right. So you got the disciples that are on the journey to becoming apostles, that the enemy is stirring up a demonic storm to take them out. Why do I call it a demonic storm? Because you and I wouldn't be here today if the boat went down. See, without Judas living on that boat, he wouldn't have got to the place to deny him, to betray him. If there wasn't a betrayal, there wouldn't have been arrest. Without that arrest, there wouldn't have been the conviction. Without the conviction, there wasn't a cross. Without the cross, there wasn't a death. Without the death, there wasn't a resurrection. Without the resurrection, there wasn't salvation. Listen, that moment in history would have changed everything. Demons are coming against the disciples on the boat. Storm raging. And here's what it says. It says the wind was against them. Oh, I love God's word. It's not just a book. What I love about God's word is you can read it 1,000 times. When you read something on 1,001st time, the Holy Spirit breathes upon it and it becomes alive. You can read Moby Dick 100 times. It's about a dumb whale. But when you read God's word, it comes alive. Last night I was preparing and I all of a sudden came up on my spirit, look up wind. Says the wind came against them. Do you know what the wind means in the Hebrew? The wind in the Greek, it means to be tortured under tormenting trial. So they're in this boat, watch, being tortured by the devil. Oh, this is what spiritual warfare is like.
where you just feel like it's wave after wave coming against you, wave after wave against your family, wave after wave against your mind. And then because of our immaturity, we tell the devil when we're at our breaking point, we tell him, I can't take much anymore. I can't handle much anymore. Devil, if one more thing comes against me, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then if that's not enough, I'm going to tell other people to make sure that they know that I'm at my breaking point. And this is what it feels like when you feel like demonic torture of waves are coming against your mind. Then you get attacked in your body. Then something happens in your family. Then there's strife over here. And you're living in this place of torment.
This is where the disciples were, as the devil's just messing with them.
Then they say, Jesus, watch this, in a form of a ghost. This is wild.
When they see Jesus, the disciples are with him every single day. For years, they're with him every single day. They know who Jesus is. But when Jesus comes in an appearance they're not familiar with, it, they call it a ghost. Isn't this what some believers do when the Holy Spirit moves in a form they don't recognize? And then they make YouTube videos telling everybody it's about devils because they don't recognize Jesus in all of his forms.
Here's what the Bible says. It says it was in the fourth watch. I love scripture. What is the fourth watch? The fourth watch is the hours between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. The Jews broke up the evening in different watches or hour time period between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. that is known as a supernatural hour. There's something powerful when you get up early in the morning before the sun's up and you meet with God. I promise you, he's waiting on you. See, it was the fourth watch that Moses lifted his rod over the Red Sea and the Red Sea's parted. It was the fourth watch when the curtain tore and Jesus raised from the dead. It was the fourth watch when Jesus is walking on this supernatural water in this supernatural moment.
Peter says, if that's you, tell me to come. You got to look at your Bible. And Jesus said, come. So here's Peter. Everybody else can die in the boat. I love this. He said, I will not be tortured by a spirit anymore. I would rather step out in a place of faith than stay in this spiritual torture chamber.
This is how a lot of people feel in dysfunctional witchcraft atmospheres that call themselves churches. I would rather stay in a place of torment and unhealth than step out in faith. That's someone for the online podcast. I feel it in my spirit. He steps out in faith, watch, and begins to walk on the water. He sees Jesus walking on the water. He says, if you're out there and you tell me I can do it, then tell me to come. See, y'all, Jesus walks on what you drowned in. The things that overwhelm you, he walks in. See, for some reason, the spirit of fear tells you that because it's hard for you, it's hard for God. And let me tell you that nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too big for God. Nothing is above him. He holds eternity in the palm of his hand. Come on, look at that cameraman raising his hand, getting it in church. Let's go. So he's walking in faith. Watch this, because this is what happened to Peter and it happens with you. You start stepping out in faith and all of a sudden you're pumped up and you're going to do the business that God called you to be, and you're going to finance the kingdom and you're going to see justice in the earth. You step out and do your ministry. You step out in faith and start believing God. You step out, start sharing your faith. And as soon as you start living in the place of faith, those old winds and waves that tormented you in the boat now come at you when you're in the place of faith. See, just because you're in a place of faith doesn't mean that you will not feel the effects of witchcraft or warfare. I remember asking my spiritual father, John Paul Jackson, I asked him when he was 64 years old, I said, when do you get to the place where you don't feel the effects of witchcraft? He said, I don't know, I'll tell you when I do. Listen, just because you are a great man of God or woman of God and live in a place of faith does not mean that you will not feel the wind or feel the tormenting waves coming against you. So all of a sudden, even though Jesus told him to come, he gets distracted. Watch. And then he makes a partnership with fear. How many are like Peter? You start stepping out in faith. Oh, but then COVID came. I guess all those prophetic words weren't true because COVID took God by surprise. You start stepping out in faith, and then you're attacked. And then, oh, I got a prophetic word that I was going to be attacked, and I knew this would happen, and I don't like the feeling of it, and we might as well just disobey God and quit. Abandon the call of God on our life. Abandon the perfect will of God. Watch, fear-based warfare kicks in. And then you try to walk in faith by living in fear of the winds and waves. Worship team, come and join me. And he cries out for Jesus to help him. The Bible says immediately he reached down and grabbed him. And he lifted him up. And he said, you have little faith. Watch. He didn't say you have little faith. Because Peter didn't believe that he was God. Remember, Peter was the one, when Jesus said, who are you? He said, you're the Christ. Other call you a prophet. Other call you rabbi. Others say you're a good guy, but you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He didn't tell him, you have little faith, because Peter didn't have faith. Watch. He said, you have little faith, because I told you to come. If he tells you to come, if he tells you to go, if he tells you to walk by faith, if he gives you the word, if he commissions you and releases you, then he will sustain you in the midst of every storm. Every demonic wave and every tormenting spirit, everything that comes against you, watch, if you keep your eyes fixed on him. Fear-based warfare is when you engage in spiritual warfare with fear. Supernatural warfare is when you engage in spiritual warfare with the fear of the Lord. I don't serve the prince of the air. I serve the God that made it. I'm not bowing to the demonic manipulation of waves. I serve the God that holds the tension of the waves in the sky in the palm of his hand. He's awesome. He is awesome. There's no one like him. There's none beside him. There's none that could stand with him. And even though demons may be on the scene, when he comes forward, they tremble in fear. They beg to flee to pigs. They can't stand in his holiness. They can't stand in his omnipotence. They can't stand next to his power. Oh. The demons that you tremble to tremble before our God. That's why David was able to say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies God?
Some of you are struggling because you're encountering warfare. I even heard it this week. People texted me from around the country. Oh, saw you're ministering on spiritual warfare. Praying for you guys. I'll pray for you. And that spirit of fear that owns you. Some of you, you're being tormented by demonic spirits. Demonic spirits through people. Witchcrafts that blow into your home, that steal your peace, that steal your joy. You've tormented your family. They've wreaked havoc in your marriage. Some of you are seeing it manifest on your children. And I came to tell you, proper spiritual warfare is just fear God more. You say, Landon, more than what? More than everything. Last scripture. Peter's walking on the water. Verse 31. He cries out to Jesus. I love God's word. And it says, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him. Peter's sinking and he's afraid, but he doesn't realize, despite what's going around him, he's in the safest place on the planet. He's with Jesus. Some of you are terrified. You're fearful. You're tired. You're afraid. This morning is all you have to do. Say, Lord, help me. Like Pastor Chris said this morning, like a son or daughter that will lift their hands and say, Father, will you hold me? Being in the presence of God is the safest place on the planet. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Scripture says, when Peter cried out, immediately Jesus grabbed him. Scripture says he reached for him. Do you know there is no place that is beyond the reach of God's grace? There's no depth you can sink to. Jonah, there's no place you could run to. There's no sin that you can fall to that there is no mercy for. His grace is sufficient. His mercy extends as far as the east is to the west. And no matter how many times you find yourself in a terrifying place, you'll never find yourself outside the power of the reach of God. And I heard him speak to my spirit in the same way. Immediately he reached out and rescued Peter. I heard him say, immediately he's going to reach down and rescue sons and daughters today. I would encourage you, if you're in a place where you're experiencing warfare, if you're experiencing witchcraft, if you're being attacked, your marriage is being attacked, your family's being attacked, your body's being attacked, and you say, I need his mercy. I need to be rescued. I need him to come right now. I'd encourage you right now, lift your hands wherever you are. Stand to your
your feet and lift your hands and just let him rescue you. If you want to come down to this altar, get out of the boat and walk on down. But right now, just have a moment with the Lord. Right now, just say, God, I need you. I need your presence. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I can't make it without you. I can't make it one day, one moment. I heard him say, immediately. Right where you're at, pray this. Say, Holy Spirit, teach me how to fear you. Come on, lock in right now. Focus. Say, teach me how to fear you. Teach me how to be aware of you. Teach me your awesomeness. Give me an awe for you. Give me a wonder for you. I was praying for you this morning, and I saw in the spirit a wind coming against you, but it wasn't a demonic wind. It was his Holy Spirit's wind, and I saw him blowing on you this morning. I was on the trail in the fourth hour, and I saw the wind of God consuming you this morning.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.